hello there. Thank you very much for joining us on the Sweep Spot, the Racing Post weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Coming up, two big tournaments. Some of the really big names are out in the AT&T, Byron Nelson. And then we've got the Soudal Open in Belgium. You're tipping him, aren't you, Steve? You're going to tip him, aren't you?
We'll see.
Okay. All right. Before we get Steve's tips on the two tournaments that precede the US PGA Championship, we will look back on what happened last weekend. And by the way, apologies for the fact that the planned watch along for the final round of the British Masters didn't happen due to circumstances outside our control. We were unable to do it, but we will be back with a live watch along on Sunday week for the final round of the USPGA. And we would love you to join us for that. So, Steve, Keegan Blimmin' Bradley, it looked like he had it absolutely wrapped up, didn't he? He was in total control. And then the final round, do you ever do that thing where when your players had a bad round, you look down the leaderboard and you go, he was the only one in like the top whatever to have an over par round and you can't believe your bad luck? That's what happened, wasn't it? Keegan blew it, and taking advantage was Max Homer, who's not just a blue-eyed boy on the social media scene where he's very, very funny indeed, but he's also becoming quite an adept winner on tour. So your reflections, first of all, obviously, I guess you're still licking your proverbial wounds, aren't you?
Been doing a lot of licking, yeah. I mean, that's a tough one to get over. I mean, that's 3 weeks in a row now we've had a PGA Tour second place. So I'm a bit worried that secondaitis has kicked in. And that was the most painful one of the lot because we were in a fantastic position after three rounds. He's two shots clear. He's trading at 5-4. And then in the middle of the final round, it had clearly become a two-horse race between Bradley and Homer. So if you were winning fortunes on Keegan Bradley, you had ample opportunity to back Max Homer as well. So
now preaching all about cash out.
I'm preaching, but I had 92% of my eggs remained in the Bradley basket throughout. So I didn't do what I should have done, but I see.
It sounds like you're more amenable to the idea of laying off now, though, Steve, isn't it?
I was just finding that final round too much to bear, actually. Yeah, I was struggling with a bit of mental fatigue, and if you get the Oxford English Dictionary now and you look up the word topsy turvy, I know it's probably strictly speaking two words, but I think it would now say the 2022 final round, Wells Fargo. Because I mean, that you couldn't have found a more topsy-turvy final round, could you? I mean, it was just so difficult. If you're a big Bradley backer, God, I'm going to struggle to speak today. If you're a big Bradley backer, you're two shots up on the first tee. He's two behind after, what was it, four holes or something? He was three over par for his first four holes. Then he made three birdies in four holes then to go back in front. And then, I can't be bothered to go into it. But yeah, it was just so topsy-turvy and a really tough mental watch for Bradley backers and for Bradley himself. And we both failed.
Oh, well, never mind. So Max Homer, I mean, he's that's not his first win, is it, Steve? He's becoming quite a useful tool, isn't he, in these kind of events where the stars aren't there.
That's his fourth PGA Tour win. There's not many that have won. They've all come very, very quickly as well. Yeah, I mean, he seems to have surprised himself. Yeah, four PGA Tour wins in 3 years. It's a fantastic strike rate. He's just a really solid player. Sort of no frills, never does much wrong. Very stiff-wristed on every shot, isn't he? Reminds me a bit of Steve Stricker, how he used to be. Very few moving parts.
You're, of course, the most elastic-wristed golfer I've ever seen. I mean, your swing's incredible, isn't it? You start breaking your wrists from the word go, don't you?
I do, and a lot goes wrong. I go from the sublime to the ridiculous, whereas with Max Homer, not a lot can go wrong. You know, even around the greens, he never tries the sort of fancy flop shots. It's stiff-wristed percentage golf, and it's very effective. And, he's grown in self-belief, and he should be considered every time now. Yeah, he was in the others tonight. We did strongly consider him. But, yeah, I like him, and he's a nice – he's hard not to like, isn't he? He's a really
– really nice, yeah. He does social media brilliantly, doesn't he? He did a really funny podcast when he came to Sandwich for the Open. It was his first ever time in England, I think, and it was just brilliant, like taking the mickey out of, like, the breakfasts and the accents and just all the little differences, but not in a sort of – nasty, clever dick way, if you know what I mean.
I do like him. Yeah, I was hating him for a lot of Sunday, and then when he was interviewed afterwards, and I watched all his media conferences. Yeah, you know, it's impossible not to warm to him. So yeah, good luck to Max Homer. Unlucky Keegan Bradley. Unlucky us. But we weren't unlucky in the British Masters. We just had some poor selections there.
Oh, well, never mind. So just quickly before we move on to that, though, Steve, I just want a quick word about McIlroy. I mean, you thought the venue would be too tight for him. It was, in so much as he didn't win, but he placed and played pretty well, didn't he?
And he seemed really pleased with himself in the post-round interview, which is important. You know, he says his game's in great shape for the forthcoming majors. He hasn't got much work to do. He was one over par for his final eight holes on Sunday. So, you know, you'd be disappointed with that. When he got close, he retreated, so to speak. So I don't know. But, yeah, he seems happy. And that's crucial with Rory.
And over at the Belfry, I mean, blimey, you talk about the other event being topsy-turvy. This was pretty topsy-turvy, wasn't it? I mean, Torbjørn Olsen, your old mate who you've tipped time and time and time again. Three shots clear, starting the last round, blew that in absolutely no time and looked a million, well, not a million to one, but he looked a very forlorn hope with when he was two down with three to play. Eagled, I mean... How did he eagle that par five? Because his tee shot, didn't he hit a provisional at the shot, at the hole that he eagled, if I got that wrong? I saw him hitting a provisional and thought, well, that's it, he's done for. But then he found his first one, got out of trouble, eagled 16, and then birdied 18 with an outrageous par. It was astonishing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Eagle 17, birdie 18, two really long putts. I mean, he's always been a fantastic putter, and yeah, he had two amazingly good putts and just, yeah, wonderful scenes. I mean, yeah, I wonder whether he needed a bit of contention, a few tournaments, to get the feel of being in contention back. But yeah, it's just just fantastic the way he handled it. I'm pleased for the lad. You know, he's been through some issues there. I wondered whether he might have some, some wise asses in the galleries causing him problems, but it was the total opposite. He got a really, really enthusiastic support from the Brits. I mean, he is he lives in London now. He's an adopted Brit, so to speak, and he's still only 32. So yeah, I think he's going to be a prolific DP World Tour winner now. He's got a lot to offer.
Very much so. Any other thoughts arising from what happened at the Belfry? I mean, we said before last week, didn't we? It wasn't the strongest field, but and it also looked like it could be a bit of a non-event, didn't it? But it came back and there's a very thrilling final round in the end.
I mean, old Nigel Mansell finished tied eighth, didn't he, with about a million others. No good to us. I mean, I was really excited. I settled down on Saturday because I had a bit of illness on Thursday night and Friday, and on Saturday. My wife kindly said I could have the whole afternoon resting and watching golf because I had a temperature of sort of almost 40 degrees the previous
Christ,
night.
What's going on, Steve?
I don't know. That was a very odd one, that, but my body seemed to battle it off quite well. But yeah, I was really excited about having the whole afternoon to watch. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Robert McIntyre and Jordan Smith, who were just on the fringes of contention. Yeah, well in with a chance of getting in the thick of things. And then that 10th hole, that the famous 10th hole at the Belfry, the short par four, just destroyed all of my hopes. McIntyre gunned for the green and made a double bogey and then made a triple bogey at 11. So dropped five shots in two holes. And then Jordan Smith laid up at the par four 10th. So iron off the tee, wedge into the water, drop, chipped into the water and made a triple bogey 7.
Oh,
so,
no.
My afternoon was just ruined completely.
That wasn't the tonic you wanted, was it?
It wasn't. Yeah, disappointed with the British Masters, but we go again.
We do go again. So this week, AT&T, Byron Nelson at Craig Ranch. Craig Ranch, by the way, there's a new genre, isn't it? Golf courses that could be golfers. Can you imagine Craig Ranch, couldn't you? Taken out on the Corn Ferry Tour, maybe. Anyway, we're at Craig Ranch, and we've got a terrific lineup. Let's spin through Boyle Sports prices. And they're betting 10 places, which is smashing. And they go 8-1 Fav Scotty Scheffler, 9 Justin Thomas, 12 Jordan Spieth, all the big names, pretty much all the big names here. 14 Xander Schauffele, 16 Dustin Johnson, 16 Sam Burns, 18 Will Zalatoris, 22 Neiman, Koepka and Matsuyama, and 30 Barr. So the big names are out, Steve, limbering up for the USPGA. Tell us all about the test that they face down there in Texas.
Yes, TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas. 7,468 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, 1 reachable par 4. It made its PGA Tour debut last year, and 25 under par was the winning total. The fairways are wide and welcoming. You've got the Zoysia grass fairways, lovely springy lies off them. 4 sunny hot days forecast, light to moderate breezes. Yeah, the big hitters have got a playground here.
Who won it last year?
Kyung-hun Lee.
Did he?
Remember, very poor weather. It was a duel between Kyung-hun Lee and Sam Burns. And made a victory for the lad.
Blimey. How many selections?
Five.
Five. Right then, fire away with your headline pick.
The aforementioned there, Sam Burns, runner-up last year. Burns carried our money last time he played. He finished second in the Zurich Classic Pairs event alongside Billy Horschel. Burns, generally excellent in the Zurich. The partnership didn't hold any long putts, but they were both swinging great. Horschel, in interviews in the Zurich, could not stop himself gushing over how good his playing partner is, you know, Burns' ability. The peers of Burns are well aware that he's world number 10 now, but he's probably not going to stop there. You know, this is a potential world number one. He's only 25 years of age. He's won three times in the space of a year. And in last year's Byron Nelson, he was runner up in this. So he's got the current form, he's got the course form, and he's hungry for more silverware. You know, he's in with a good chance of FedEx Cup glory here. I don't know what's not to like about Burns this week. He's even got some Zoiser form. I know you love a bit of Zoiser form. He was second at TPC Southwind last year, which is Zoiser Grass Fairways.
All right, so we've got Sam Burns as the main pick. Who's your second selection?
Next best is Will Zalatoris, 20-1 with Bora Sports getting 10 places, 22-1 available elsewhere, getting fewer places. He's Dallas-based, is Will Zalatoris. He's Dallas-based. He says he's played TPC Craig Ranch at least 100 times. He's ultra comfortable at this track. A lot of players coming in this week have played it zero times. He's played it at least 100 times. And he's got the power, like Burns, he's got the power to take it apart. And he's oozing form. He beat Victor Hovland on his way to the quarterfinals of the WGC match play. He finished sixth in the Masters and he finished fourth in the Zurich Classic last time out alongside Davis Riley. You know, Zalatoris, he broke our hearts when he nearly won the Farmers Insurance for us in January. I think it's time to give him another go. He was 17th in this last year, 10 under par at the weekend. I think he'll start faster this year and it'll be a serious title challenge. He was eighth on the Zoiser and TPC Southwind last year.
And he's got a reputation now, hasn't he, as a dodgy, almost yippy putter. But is that becoming a little bit overplayed, that?
The stats are better than the visuals, actually. Yeah. I mean, he's not a great putter. There's no getting away from it. But he's an astonishingly good ball striker. And we have to give him another go at somewhere he's so comfortable.
OK. We've got Burns. We've got Zalatoris. We've got...
Cameron Champ. 33-1 with Boyle Sports. Yeah, let's go again with the champ. 10 places at 33-1 or 55-1 available elsewhere, getting fewer places. Keeping the faith. He finished sixth. It's been a long few days. He finished sixth for us last time out in the Mexico Open. That followed 10th place in the Masters. You know, he was second for greens and regulation. Performance in the Masters. Clearly over the wrist injury, which was holding him back for months. He's playing in his adopted home state this week. He lives in Houston now. He's got a massive, massive property in Houston. He wants to make it bigger. He likes having loads of animals around him. And he's playing a course this week that sets up wonderfully for him. Four reachable par fives, reachable par four. He finished 55th there last year, but badly out of form. Expect much better this time.
What sort of animals does he like to have around him?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think
like
he's
your standard farm animals, or is he like one of those weirdos who has big cats? And...
Oh, no. I think it's standard farm animals, but he just wants loads of room. You know, he could fit a blooming herd of elephants in there. He's got so much room in his Houston property. Yeah, he says that's where it helps him get away, detox from the tour sort of thing. You know, he's a deep thing.
I think you should get a pet. So I honestly think you should get a dog. I think it'd be the making of you.
Yeah, I should get a ranch in Texas as well, shouldn't I?
A ranch, but have you considered dog ownership?
Yeah, my mother is allergic to dog hair.
That's right.
That's the reason we've never got involved. I mean, I think Grace would like one, but it'd be a real sort of kick in the teeth for my mother to basically be banned from my ever entering my house. Yeah.
No, you've got to think of your mum. Okay, mate, fine. Right then, who are the other two selections?
Davis Riley. I know I sound a bit like a broken record with Cameron Champs and with Davis Riley's, but yeah, the reason I go for them all the time is because they're great world-class talents, young, progressive. Another Dallas resident, Davis Riley. He actually used to live with Will Zalatoris. They're great buddies, these two. They finished fourth together in that Zurich Classic. Riley followed up with fifth place in the Mexico Open. We backed him for that because we thought the course would suit. This week's course, probably an even better setup. The Riley PGA Tour maiden title could come on Sunday. And
what
then the biggest,
he
is 40-1 with Ball Sports getting 10 places, 60-1 elsewhere getting fewer places.
And finally,
Sepp Straka, 50-1 with Ball Sports getting 10 places, 70-1 available elsewhere with fewer places. Just been a little forgotten in this market for me. He's in red hot form, is Sepp Straka. Won the Honda Classic at the end of February, 9th at Sawgrass, 30th on Masters Debut, 3rd in the Heritage. missed the cut on the mark last week in the Wells Fargo. Nothing to worry about. This week's track, much better fit for him. Four solid rounds for 26th place last year. He's 103 places better in the world rankings this time, which shows you how well he's been playing, and crucially, a PGA Tour champion.
Now then, you must have had a good hard look at the favourite. I mean, he's been the absolute darling of the sweep spot this week, this year, Scotty Scheffler, hasn't he? So what did you make of his chances?
I don't think he's quite ready to hit those heights again. I mean, the Masters was such a massive moment for him. You know, he's crying like a baby on the morning of the final round. He wins it. He's got interviews galore. It's been so much on his plate. I don't think he gave himself enough time afterwards to get over it. He played in the Zurich Classic. We opposed him for that. He was poor for three of the four rounds there. He was sort of away with the fairies, understandably. He's playing in his home state this week. Should get a little bit more focus from that. But I don't think the chef is going to be able to get his juices flowing until major competition comes around again. You know, he's chasing the Grand Slam this year. And I think we'll see the best of Scheffler next week, but not this week.
Splendid. OK, Steve, anyone else you want to mention? JT?
JT winless for 14 months.
Oh, blimey. OK, fair enough. Right then. OK, we're done with that, aren't we? Should we move on to the Sedal Open?
I think we should. Yeah.
So the the DP World Tour moves on to Belgium for the Sedal Open. Tell us all about the course, Steve, because I haven't got the market up yet. There we go.
Yeah, we're at Rincon International Golf Club in Antwerp. There's two courses at Rincon, the north and the south, and the tour
Rincon.
Right. And the tour uses a composite of the two when they go there, and it only measures 6,924 yards, a par 71. There's only two par fives. It staged the Belgian knockout. Do you remember the Belgian knockout?
Nope.
2018 and 2019. This is the first full stroke play of DP World Tour event we've had there.
The Belgian knockout,
that was 36 holes of stroke play, and then the qualifiers went into stroke play match play event, 9-hole stroke play match play, 64 players, and then boom, 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 into the final. Bloody
was there one with 6-hole matches as well once?
Yeah, in Australia, wasn't it? Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, that's right. And it was a mixed event, wasn't it?
This is a really easy track. There's going to be loads of birdies this week.
Okay. Ball Sports offer 8 places here. So if you want your cross doubles, you get 10 places in America, 8 places in Europe. That's really good news. And they bet as follows. 16-1, Bernd Wiesberger. 16-1, Thomas Peters. I wonder if Steve fancies him. 18-1, Sam Horsfield. 20-1, Adrian Maronk. 20, Thomas Detry. 22, Ryan Fox. 22, Adrian Ottagay. And 25-1 bar. How many selections? One?
It's five.
Excellent. Right then. Knock me off my feet. Get me reaching for the smelling salts. Who's your headline selection?
The Otter.
Oh, the Otter. All
right. Yeah.
That shut me up, hasn't it?
Yeah. Adrian Ottagay, Ottagay, Ottagay. 22-1 with Boyle Sports getting 8 places. 25-1 available elsewhere, getting fewer places. Rincon sets up lovely for the Otter. Lots of short tree-lined par fours. Find the fairway, spear the wedge at the hole. He fell in love with Rincon on his first visit. The 2018 Belgian knockout was won by Adlian Ottagay. We'll try a few different variants on the way. And then on his title defence, he was beaten by Guido Migliozzi, the eventual champion. So, Ottagay loves this course. He's in fantastic nick. He was third in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship in February. He was fifth in the Qatar Masters in March. He was second in the ISPS Handa Championship last month. Last week at the Belfry, decent effort, 27th place. Three-time DP World Tour champion. I think he should be jostling for favouritism, the Otter. Yeah, I think him and one other player should be jostling for favouritism.
Okay, right then. Who's your second selection?
This is not the player I think should be jostling for favouritism. This is the player I think should be third in the betting. And this is Victor Perez, who is 25-1 with Boyle Sports getting 8 places, 30-1 available elsewhere getting fewer places. We're back in Perez for a third consecutive week. We're yet to get a return, but I think we should keep the faith. I sense that Perez is getting back to the form which made him world number 30 at the end of March last year. He was 8th in the ISPS Handa at the end of last month. He was 21st last week at the Belfry. All parts of his game seem to be coming together. And he's teeing up at a course this week where he impressed in 2018. He was third after the stroke play element of the Belgian knockout. And he progressed to the quarterfinals. So, that effort is eye-catching because it came when he was massively inexperienced. He was 376th in the world rankings for that event. But he took a shine to Rinkfun, much better player, better player now. Better player now.
Okay, right then. So we've got Otagay, we've got Perez, and next we've got
Ewan Ferguson. Like Perez, Ferguson performed superbly at Rinkfun before he became a Tour champion. He was third in the 2019 Belgian knockout, which was Ferguson's career best performance until the heroics in Qatar, which you must remember. I know he made
Yeah,
yeah, it was a lovely finish to that tournament, wasn't it? I was really impressed with how he reacted to what happened in Kenya, because he led the Kenya Open by four shots going into the final round, carded a 77 to finish eighth, admitted afterwards he was a bag of nerves. It was only his third start as a full DP World Tour member. He said he would do better next chance he got. And, you know, backed up those words in Qatar spectacularly. Maiden victory. Great, great under pressure over those final two holes. Windswept Doha. He hit the shot superbly. I really like the character. Yeah, he's an honest lad, determined. He's got a great golf swing as well. And he's had a period of adjustment since the win. Been playing in some glamour groups. Not done much, but I think he'll start purring again because he's going to a course he knows he loves.
Yeah. Excellent. Next up, who have we got? Are you tipping him, aren't you?
I'm going to keep you gagging. I'm going to keep you waiting. I just have a pause there just to keep you gagging even more.
Okay.
Number four, Philip.
You're still off the Diet Coke?
Yeah.
You lapsed, didn't you? But then you've got back on the wagon, have you?
Yeah, I'm all right at the moment. Yeah, I'm just on the waters and the Baroccas and whatnot. Number four selection. I love this one. I love saying this one. Here we go. Clément Sauder.
How would someone go into a betting shop and spell that, Steve?
Well, I suppose if you're English, you go Clément Sauder.
S-O-R-D-E-T.
Clément Sauder. I don't speak the lingo. Clément Sauder. Yeah. I mean, must be a silent T, mustn't it, if you're a Frenchman?
Yeah, Clément Sauder.
Yeah.
It would rhyme with sorbet, wouldn't it?
It would. I love sorbet, don't you?
I do. I
really, really like sorbet.
Do you know what? Can I tell you a very quick story about sorbet? Once, when we were in France in a quite swanky restaurant, and between courses, they brought out this Calvados sorbet. You know Calvados? It's like the sort of cider-based liqueur. So it's an alcoholic sorbet, and just a tiny little bowl with a little spoon, and you just have that between each course just to cleanse your palate and get it ready for the next course. Honestly, I mean, sorbet is one of the nicest things ever. So
yeah, you don't see enough sorbet out there, do you? When you go to restaurants, it's sort of gone out of fashion a little bit. Anyway, let's hope Clément Sauder stays in fashion. He turns 30 in October, but he's threatening to waste his enormous talent. I've always rated him. Do you remember when he almost won the Oman Open for us in 2019? There was last hole three-putt horror. He's yet to win on the main tour, but he's now won five times on the Challenge Tour, most recently a few weeks ago in South Africa. Over the last 3 months, he's really been getting his act together. He can be a deadly putter. It's an easy course this week.
Why is he unquoted in some places? Is he like a late alternate?
Yeah. There's a cutoff point on the European Tour, and then if players pull out...
Sorry, can you tell me what the sort of entry system's like for golf? Like, when do you have to... So for an event like this, when do you have to sort of put your name down for it and then confirm?
Oh, about a week beforehand, I think. Yeah, about a week beforehand. But yeah, there's a cutoff point there. And if players pull out, then the players below the cutoff point move up. And he's one of those lucky ones that got in. But so they will.
Some players have to travel to the venue and just like mirror take the, around, yeah, it's up to them.
Yeah. It's up to them whether they take that gamble. Yeah. But he's in nice and early, and I fancy him to take his chance. And then we've got one more, also a juicy price. Is Jack Singh Brah, 125-1 with Ball Sports getting eight places, 200-1 available elsewhere getting fewer places. Jackson Brah came through the stroke play stage of his only previous Belgian knockout. Then he lost a very tight, good quality match against Sebastian Soderberg. I think we can safely say that Rinkfun is a great fit for him. He finds fairways, he putts well. His DP World Tour career has suffered through injury, but the last few weeks have been encouraging. He was 15th in the ISPS Handa. He was 27th last week at the Belfry. There's loads of potential here. He's really well thought of down my neck of the woods. He's a Southampton lad. Everyone in the South has been waiting for the career of Singh Brah to take off. I was buying an Audi a few years ago. I'll give you a little flavour of this. I was in Poole buying an Audi a few years ago, and the fella asked me what I did, and all he wanted to talk about after I told him I was a golf writer was Jackson Bra. You know, I was desperately trying to study the spec of this vehicle, see where I was getting it, and he was just banging on about Jackson Bra. Wow. Yeah, I think everyone's waiting for the bra to take off down here. Yeah, it's being very juvenile there. But,
no, that's quite good. I mean, it's not spelt BRA, is it? Again, if a punter is scanning down the list, what should they be looking for? Is it BRAER?
BRAR, yeah.
BRAR.
Yeah. I think the bra is ready for takeoff, and the prices are enormous. Let's take a chance.
Okay, right. Why not then? Why are you forsaking your favourite goal for Thomas Peters?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised he wasn't favourite. As I say, I think the Otter and Peters should be jostling for favouritism. You know, he's so far ahead of the rest of the field in the world rankings, but he's not played since the Masters. But yeah, you could say that's a positive because he lives in Antwerp. You know, he could have been practising every single day since the Masters.
Is it a bit fiddly for him, this track?
Yes. Yeah. That's the reason. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be backing Peters at a track with only two par fives. And he has, he's sort of tournament host, puts you off a little bit, doesn't it? You know, him,
tournament host, is he?
Well, right. He has been previously for the Belgian knockout. I think it's more of an unofficial role this time, but you got Peters, Detry, and is Coulthard even in the field? I don't think Coulthard has made the field. So you got Peters and Detry acting as unofficial tournament hosts. Lot of pressure, a lot of spotlight. You know, he opened 77-65, I believe, the last time in the Belgian knockout. So, I think Peters might just have one bad round where it will get too much for him. But he's very, very much the main man this week. And I don't want to put people off him, that's for sure.
Okay.
And I was very close to having him, but I just preferred the Otter. I think the Otter's a better fit for this course.
All right, mate. All in all, which set of selections? You've got five in each. Which five do you think will perform better, the American ones or the Belgian ones?
Well, I suppose the Belgian ones are more speculative. So, I've been in really good form on the PGA Tour, and, I would suggest bigger bets on those ones.
Okay, should we reiterate?
Well, should we mention the 14-year-old Ukrainian first?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about the 14-year-old Ukrainian, so away you go. Well, tell me more. That's intriguing.
Yeah, it is jolly interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's a 14-year-old Ukrainian playing in the Sudal, and it's not just that they're not just letting him in as an act of kindness to a nation under going through great hard times. He's got in on merit because he was born in Ukraine, but he moved to Belgium as a young lad. And he grew up close to this course, and he's played in a couple of Thomas Peters Jr. events, and he's won one of them. So he's been given an invite into this. He lives in Florida. Lev Grinberg, really cocky so-and-so. I've seen him interviewed, but I mean, he says he was a single figure handicap when he was 9 years old. So it's basically Lev Grinberg is now the sort of measure that I'm using for Tommy Tiger. You know, Tommy Tiger's got to get single figures handicap at the age of 9 now to keep up with Lev Grinberg.
Well, you sent me some videos of Tommy this week. I mean, blimey, he's coming along a treat, isn't he? You showed me him getting up and down out of a bunker. I mean, some pros would be proud of that, wouldn't they? And his swing's extraordinary, isn't it? Really good.
Yeah, it's a great sand save, that. Great sand save. And
Still
only two and getting, good distance on the drives now. And
absolutely amazing.
He's learning to relish the irons rather than the driver now. It's not, he used to just love the driver, but now he's appreciating the crafting a 7-iron, both ways.
I know he takes the flags out though. I'm not a fan of that. That just encourages slow play. I mean, you need to teach him not to do that, mate.
He's a purist, mate. He's a purist.
It's great. Nicola was caddying, wasn't she? Very encouraging.
Yeah. She coaches on the days I can't. But yeah. Hopefully we can keep up with Lev Grinberg. I'm hoping Lev Grinberg has a really, really bad week this week and really dents his confidence, so he doesn't get too far ahead.
Charming. You were just telling that lovely story, and now you've just gone and poured cold water at him and said, "Yeah, hope he has a shocker, misses the cut." Now that's a nice story though, that Steve, isn't it? That's really good. That I know everyone keeps telling me it's the Eurovision on Saturday. Everyone says that Ukraine are an absolute certainty because everyone will just vote for them. But you can see that, can't you? But
well, you could have the Ukraine Eurovision and Lev Grinberg double, couldn't you?
I suppose you could, yeah. Right. Anyway, that's a lovely story. Let's hope Lev Grinberg goes well. Let's hope these 10 players go well as well. Here are the five in the Byron Nelson.
Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, Cameron Champ, Davis Riley, Sepp Straka.
and the five selections in the Sudal Open.
Adrian Ategui, Victor Perez, Ewan Ferguson, Clément Sauder, Jack Singh, brah.
Lovely stuff. The Belgian tournament starts very early on Thursday and the American tournament kind of Thursday lunchtime. So if you want doubles, get them on Wednesday. The other thing, Steve, we've got a question from someone on Twitter. Let me do that quickly before we wrap. Not wrap, but wrap up. We're not going to start doing wraps. Hang on a sec. Where is it?
We have a rap-o show, don't we, to celebrate another good
show. Oh, do we ever. Hang on a sec. Can you just fill for 5 seconds? Tell me something nice about your life at the moment.
I'm going to Chessington World of Adventures this week.
Oh, brilliant, are you?
Yeah.
What day?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, a two-dayer.
Yeah, two-dayer, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, Tommy's birthday, yeah, Tommy's birthday.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that'll be nice. Where are you staying? Is there an on-site hotel?
Yeah.
Kids-themed hotel, that'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
Hope the weather's okay, because it's quite water-based, that, isn't it? So if they have these like giant water pistols and all sorts of water-based capers. So if it's a little bit chilly, which it is today, then that's not ideal. But whale of a time.
Can't be an adventure, can you?
You certainly can't. Gary says, any chance? He says, the mad Steve Palmer. But anyway, the mad isn't really important here. But any chance the mad Steve Palmer can give any first-round leader tips, please? And does he look for anything specific for an FRL? Thank you.
Yeah, I like to study tee times before that. I'm sorry to be such a fuss pot, but I think tee times are crucial to that, which is why I don't really give first round leader on Sweet Spot. But we do often have first round leader tips in Thursday's Racing Post. And I'm sorry. Wednesday, online,
so
on Wednesday.
It's tee times and weather that are crucial factors, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. And fresh greens. I normally back an early starter because I like fresh greens. If you can get an early starter with fresh greens, benign weather, and big names out late, you're in business.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks, mate. Anything else to add?
No. Let's do it. Let's get back on track. Yeah, we don't want any more seconds this week, all right? Let's get some winners.
Okay, and let's also hope that you can join us next Tuesday for the US PGA Sweet Spot. Have a lovely time down at Chessington, Steve. Hope the family have a brilliant time. Hope the golfers play well for you. Bet responsibly. Join us next week for another Sweet Spot.